This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham, sitting in for Cynthia Canty. When the legislature and the governor cut a portion of the earned income tax, that's the tax break for the working poor, it was argued at the time that it was already just a piggyback on the federal earned income tax credit. It wasn't that necessary. A state couldn't afford it anymore. So it was cut from the rate of 20% of the federal credit to just 6% of the federal credit. So many of the working poor saw taxes increase. On top of that, some other tax changes have meant even more tax increases on some of Michigan's struggling families. Well, legislation to restore the state earned income tax credit has been introduced, and the Michigan League for Public Policy is supporting it. Gilda Jacobs is the president of that group and joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you.
The proponents of cutting the EITC back in 2011 said this just isn't going to make that much difference because you've got this federal one. So kind of give me an example of what kind of money are we talking about, and you know, how would it help if you're, you know, one disaster away from welfare?
Well, I mean, first of all, let's go back, because I really think that the reasoning that they're already getting the federal EITC is really not what was going on. You have to remember that the reduction of the earned income tax credit was really part of tax reform in Michigan, where business taxes were cut by 70-80% in the state, and they had to make up part of this this hole, and part of making up the benefits to businesses were really going back and balancing the budget on the backs of low income people. So I don't buy that argument that this was done because we didn't have the money. We didn't have the money because we gave all sorts of tax breaks to the business world. So, you know, I just have to kind of really put that out there. But for low-wage workers, these benefits go to families that are making between, $10,000 and $22,000, not a lot of money. And the
So in dollar amount, what was the average cost to them?
Yeah, how much we're more? Maybe talking average about $300 per filer. Now, $300 is something that for families who are living on the edge means a lot. If they need to catch up on their rent or make a car repair so that they can get to work, those kinds of dollars are huge. And yes, do they need the federal earned income tax credit? Yep, they need that. But this is something that actually looks at the amount of taxes that people that are low income pay. Anyways, they pay property taxes through their rent. They're paying taxes on clothing that they purchase, any other purchases. And if you look at the actual burden on a family, a low income family, there's a greater tax burden on a low-income, low-wage worker than there is on a middle or upper-income individual.
Your organization recently stated that Michigan's tax system is growing more regressive as a result of the changes in 2011. Can you explain that just a little further?
Well, again, the regressivity pops up when you compare who gets hurt most in the tax system. And as I said, if a low-income person is paying a greater percentage of their income on taxes, that is a very regressive system. You know, to me, if you make more money, you should be paying more taxes than somebody that is paying that's earning $15,000 a year. It's almost intuitive. Besides the fact that it's fairer.
What kind of difference are we seeing between working poor families and those who are much wealthier in the rate of taxes?
Well, again, the rate of the tax rate hurts low and middle income people greater than it does for people in the higher income brackets. So you're going to have a larger impact. This is not the average $300 is not money that this family is going to put away to take their family on a cruise. And when you look at the fact that we have still almost 9% unemployment in our state, over 8%. People are still hurting. Now, yeah, the economy's getting better, but for people at the at the lower end of the scale right now, they're not really seeing those same kinds of differences in terms of their ability to make ends meet. And they are living from paycheck to paycheck if they're when they're working.
I noticed the legislation to restore the EITC, the state EITC, is sponsored by two Democrats. considering the Republicans hold large majorities in the House and Senate and that cutting the EITC was the governor's idea to begin with, and he'll have veto power over it, what are the chances of actually restoring the state earned income tax credit to 20% of federal EITC as it was before?
Well, I think there's a couple of scenarios that could play out. First of all, the governor actually at a conference that I attended a number of months ago really did indicate that the EITC was a wonderful anti-poverty tool. So he really does believe in the concept of an earned income tax credit. But I think as things move forward in this whole budget dance where there are lots of things that the governor and the Republicans would like that may cause some heartburn in the Republican caucuses, where they're going to need to go over to the other side of the aisle and try to get some Democratic support. Hopefully, the earned income tax credit might be part of the negotiations moving forward. You know, we've actually heard Republican legislators speak publicly about the fact that perhaps the EITC can be one of the negotiations in terms of road funding. So even though this was not put in the budget right now, and you know, and you have to understand, even historically, when this was originally slated to have been eliminated totally from the governor's very first budget, negotiations happen, things change, and all of a sudden, the EITC was saved from the the hangman, and the idea now is, when you have an opportunity, when things get better in the state, when you want to try to create some fairness, that can go in and be part of negotiations moving forward. So I think that there is a very good chance that at least there will be partial restoration of the earned income tax credit. You know, it's only each percentage point that they increase the EITC only costs $18 million. And when I say only $18 million, when you have a multi-billion dollar budget, we're not talking about really a lot of dollars to the state's coffers, but it really makes a huge difference to the individual who is receiving that earned income tax credit.
And your group makes the point that those dollars are going to be spent not on cruises, as you were mentioning, or going out of state, but they're going to be spent on groceries and clothes, stuff that's bought right here in Michigan.
Yeah, and also, Lester, it lifts the kids that live in these families, helps to lift them out of poverty. And anything that we can do to lift kids out of poverty is something that we ought to be doing. In fact, it continues to be something on the governor's dashboard, which is trying to lift kids out of poverty in the state. That's, unfortunately, one of the areas where the needle did not move, where we did not see any positive growth over the last year. So I think that if we're really serious about wanting to have economic opportunity for all people in the state, this is certainly one way that we can do that.
I think there's a certain amount of irony in the fact that the federal EITC originally came about because of a Republican from Michigan, some guy named Gerald Ford.
Gerald Ford, absolutely. and Ronald Reagan, said, oh, this is the greatest anti-poverty tool that there is. But, I think that this is the point that needs to be reinforced is that this is a credit for people that are working. You only get this if you're working. So it's a terrific incentive to also help bridge people to the point where they're not going to need to have it later on.
Gilda Jacobs is the president and CEO of Michigan League for Public Policy. Thanks very much for joining us and explaining
the
state
EITC.
Bye
now.